Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. So I have a quick question. How many of you were here for week one?
Yes, I did not scare that many people off. All right.
And how many of you tonight is your first night with us?
All right, y'all. Keep your crazy tucked in.
We got company. We got company. All right. Well, I'm honored that you're here, and we are going to have an incredible time in the Word tonight. And I'm going to be unpacking four truths with you tonight. And I'm going to start off in Exodus 19. So if you want to go ahead and open up your Bible and put your finger there, that's where I'm going to start. But before I do that, I want to just share with you a quick story. My son is a sophomore in high school. His freshman year was sort of like when an airplane takes off. You're pretty sure you're going to get to where you need to get, but it's a little rough in the beginning. Any boy moms, can you relate to that? So freshman year, he had a hard time keeping up with his cell phone. And we were headed to a football game in Waller, and we were almost to Waller, which Waller is about, you know, the only thing Waller can lay claim to is a Buc-ee's, which is enough. But we were almost to the game, and we realized, oh my gosh, Owen is still at the high school, because we stalk our children on Life 360, unashamedly. If you are not stalking your children on Life 360, I don't even think you're a good parent, you know? But we were stalking our kid, and we realized he's at the high school, and we're almost to the football game, and we realized he's made it to the football game, but his phone hasn't. So that night, I'm like, hey, you gotta go to school. I can see exactly where your phone is. Your phone is in the locker room. Go get your phone tomorrow. So he comes home from school, no phone. Now, girls, we have something in our house we call man-looking. Perhaps you're familiar with this. You tell a male member of your family where an item is, and he can't see it, and you walk up to where that item is, and you find it. Does anybody here have that experience? Okay. It's a gift. It's a gift. So I said to my son, did you man look or did you look look? And he's like, Mom, I look look. I didn't see it. I said, if it doesn't come home tomorrow, I am going to the locker room and I'm looking. The last place a 15-year-old boy wants his mother is a football locker room. So he comes home, no phone. So I'm like, hey, hop in the car. Let's go. And he's like, ooh. I've been married 20 years, nothing so shocked me, I'm going to be okay. So we get to the school, and he's like, Mom, let me look one more time. And I start doing that iPhone find your phone thing, and it starts dialing it in, like the Russians know where Owen's phone is, but I can't find it. And it dials it in, dials it in, and I'm like, it's right over, and then it says move 5 feet. And I'm like, it's over here, it's not in the locker room, it's over here. And I'm going, and there's a line of dumpsters right here outside the school. And I was like, no. And so then you do that ping where you can ping your phone out. And it's a ping, a ping, a ping. And I stand right in front of probably the most disgusting dumpster I've ever seen. And I tell my son, guess what? I found your phone. And it's in here. And he's like, what do you want to do? Two guesses. And I was like, jump in there, son. And so he's in there. I want to just share a fun fact. Wednesday is spaghetti day at the high school. There is spaghetti everywhere in that dumpster. It's 110 degrees. And I'm like, have you found it yet? I'm pinging it. I'm pinging it. He looked for a solid half hour. He was up to his hips. You know, he was digging in there. Finally, I just called his dad and I said, we gotta just write this thing off as a loss. CPS is gonna show up here in a minute, you know? We didn't find the cell phone. What? Yes, I know. Everybody, oh. It just wasn't meant to be, but God is good. Because a good friend of ours had one in a drawer, and she offered it to Owen, you know, if we get a SIM card. And I was like, this is why it's important that my friends love you when your mom has a hard time, right? But I share that story because when we're talking about how to hear God's voice, a lot of believers get within 5 feet of standing under the audible voice of God, but they can't connect that last thought. And God does not want you to get within 5 feet of what he has for you. He wants you to walk in what he has for you. And so tonight, we're going to go through some very practical things that you can do to make sure that you position yourself to hear God's voice. And chances are, there are some things that you already do today. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and show you how to go a little bit deeper, how to get a little bit closer so that you can hear the voice of God, not just once in a while, but consistently. Because if you have a process, then you'll have a repeatable result. And so we're going to develop a process that you can put in place so that you can have a repeatable result of hearing the Lord's voice. So we're going to unpack 4 truths together. The first one is that you, nope, that's the announcement one. Let me go to this one. We're going to do 4 truths together. The first one is that you're going to set an appointment. We're going to unpack that. We're going to unpack to be still and worship. What does that mean? Then we're going to unpack how we pray and read. And then we're going to talk about how we listen and we write. So your outline has that 1, 2, 3, 4. And as I kind of unpack each of those points, just write down what you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to remember. All right, so let's talk about that first one, set an appointment. And I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 19, and I'm going to start in verse 10. Now, this is the scene is where the children of Israel have left Egypt. It is 3 months to the day that they left Egypt. So we're talking 90 days. And in Exodus 19, they get to the desert Sinai, to Mount Sinai. And God gives Moses some very specific instructions in Exodus 19, verse 10. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So in this verse of scripture, in this scene, you have God setting an appointment to meet with his people. And he's having them prepare to meet with him. God is a God of appointment and preparation. He is the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Now, thank goodness, in the New Testament, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't have to go through the rituals that were required in the Old Testament. But sometimes we allow our access to create laxness. And we still need to be deliberate in how we approach the throne of grace, even though we're able to go boldly. So we have this scene in Exodus 19. Well, then in Exodus 20, God is going to give the Israelites the Ten Commandments. Has anybody heard of the Ten Commandments? All right, perfect. So he's verbally giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Well, now I want you to flip over to Exodus 24, a couple pages over, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. So Moses has the Ten Commandments verbally, the people are at Mount Sinai, and God gives Moses a very special invitation. He says, you know what? I want you to bring Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. So I'll meet with all y'all. God was a Texan. I'll meet with all y'all. Bring them on up. And so that's where we pick it up in Exodus 24:9. It says, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against the leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. Verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, come up with me on the mountain and stay here. I will give you tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instructions. What's crazy about this scene in scripture is, first of all, these men saw God. Picture it. They are looking up at the sky and they see the feet of God, and the pavement is like clear, like sapphire. And they don't die. And here's the part that is so striking to me. We just read in the verse, it says that they ate. They saw God and they ate and drank. Scripture does not tell us that the Israelites brought food with them, which makes me believe God prepared a table for them. So in Exodus 19, God is speaking to Moses. In Exodus 20, he's giving them the Ten Commandments. But your God is not just a God of commandments and laws. He's a God of fellowship. In Exodus 24, he says, all y'all, come on up here. And you're going to see me, and I'm going to have a table prepared for you so that you can eat with me and understand the heart behind the commandments I'm about to put on stone so you can live. A lot of people in their walk have this view of God as just the God of commandments, and they never get to the God of fellowship. And that's such a heartbreaking thing, because your heart is made to fellowship with God's heart. Now here's the reality. Most of us have to treat our time with God like it's a drive-thru. We got to just grab it and go and eat it in the car on our way to wherever we're going. And there is no shame in that game. I get it. But your God's heart is to prepare a table for you, just like he did the Israelites, because he wants to take a minute. He wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants you to unburden yourself, but he would love to impart to you what's on his heart. And in that moment, your life can change. So it's about setting that appointment and being intentional. So let's flash forward to the New Testament. When you study the life of Jesus was the Son of Man. He was fully human and also the Son of God. He is divine. And that he is sinless. And in that state, he still had to be intentional about setting aside time to spend with God. I love these verses that I've shared with you because they indicate that Jesus had habits other people could observe. And I will just challenge you. More is caught than taught. And your children will learn your habits more quickly than they will learn your words. And so Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, as was his custom. That means he did it often enough for it to be made a custom. Luke 5, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. That means that it was something happening more than once. Luke 21, each day he was teaching, and each evening he went to spend time on the Mount of Olives. Repetitive habits. And then Luke 22, 39, Jesus went out as usual, as was his custom, as usual, often withdrew. These are things that indicate that Jesus modeled for us that even as the Son of God and the Son of Man, he had to be intentional about setting aside time to feel the Father's heart and hear the Father's voice. That's why Jesus later in the gospel says, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing. And you and I are going to have to follow his pattern and behavior. Now, how many of you have run into a girlfriend you haven't seen for a hot minute? At Kroger or HEB, we're not trying to start a fight here, they're both good grocery stores. And you tell her, girl, we gotta go to lunch. And then like a year goes by and y'all still haven't gone to lunch. Anybody ever done that, right? You will never stumble into an appointment, but you will make an appointment you've made. And so if you have that same conversation with a girlfriend and say, we have got to go to lunch, and before you leave each other and say, what does next Thursday look like for you? The odds that you have lunch next Thursday are much, much higher than you saying, I'll catch you, I'll call you, I'll text you. Your appointment with Jesus, your appointment with your Heavenly Father has to be approached the same way. Make a plan and then work your plan. And so it's not really anything super spiritual, but we are creatures of habit. And if we will attack it with that type of intentionality, we will have repeatable results because we have a repeatable process. Amen. All right, so we're going to set an appointment. So now before I go into be still and worship, I want to do like a little theological anatomy lesson with you guys. You are three parts. You are body, you are soul, you are spirit. In the book of Genesis, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," a triune God, so the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God were present in creation, a triune God has made triune man. Now, the physical is very obvious. It's what you can feel. It's your physical body, flesh, bones. And this is what, you know it's flesh because as soon as you eat a carb, you'll find it somewhere on this side. That is your flesh. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the personality. It's I think, I want, I feel. How many of you know someone who make decisions strictly based on I think, I want, I feel? If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ and your soul is not surrendered to the Holy Spirit, then your governing compass will be I think, I want, I feel. But then you become redeemed, you become a believer in Jesus Christ, and now it's not my will, but yours be done. Take up your cross and follow me. Less of me, more of you. I will decrease, you must increase. That's the soul of you. Now let's talk about the spirit of you. Your spirit is the eternal part of you. This is the part that is going to go to heaven and live with God in eternity if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Your soul is still, or spirit is still eternal. And if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, it will spend eternity in hell. But it will live forever in one of those two destinations. The spirit in you is the only part of you that can commune with God's spirit. I know, the oxygen just left the room, right? Let me give you some scripture. When Jesus is ministering to the woman at the well, she tries to stump Jesus and say, "You Jews say we should worship here, and I'm a Samaritan, and our fathers say we should worship there. Which one is it, Jesus?" And Jesus tells her in John 4:24, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." Your flesh cannot get to heaven. Your soul is becoming a likeness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is working on you. The old has passed away, the new has come. But your spirit is what communes with God's spirit. If you read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, Paul is giving an illustration to the church in Corinth. And he says, "Don't you know that when you unite yourself with a prostitute, you become one flesh with her?" He's giving us a tangible visual understanding of what we know happens in the natural to then explain something that happens in the supernatural. And in verse 17, he says, "But he who unites himself to the Lord is one with him in spirit." So when we say you have to make an appointment, yes, but then you have to be still and worship. Worship is defined as not just singing a song. And there are some bangers out there from Maverick City Worship, let me just tell you. But worship is defined as my spirit is going to commune with God's spirit. And I am going to put my spirit in a place where it can glorify God's spirit. That is what it means to worship. So on a practical level, when I am praying and I am setting aside time for me to be with the Lord, I may have some worship music playing, but a lot of times, guys, I just sing a song. I just sing a song to the Lord. And it could be something that I'm walking in that moment, you know, that is heavy on my heart, or is, I don't know why I feel the Holy Spirit right now. I don't, thank you, Jesus. Let me get a drink of water. I just start singing to the Lord. So if it's a moment like a song we all know, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice." spirit communes with God's spirit. It says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He is not there to hear your song. It blesses him. He is there to commit himself and join himself to your spirit. That is why when you go into worship, you don't leave the same way. Because a holy God has met with you and imparted himself to you. That's how it happens.
Thank you, Jesus. So that is why we're still and we worship. Now let's go to the next one, which is why we pray and we read. So at your table is a prayer wheel that we use here at Celebration Church to help prompt people through prayer. Let me encourage you. When you go to pray, my encouragement to you would be pray about the thing that's on your mind. If your children are weighing heavy on your mind, pray about your children first. If your finances are weighing heavy on your heart, pray about your finances. If the Lord has given you a burden for a person, pray about that first. Get that off you first. And you'll feel a release, and then you'll be able to pray about other things. And whether you go through that wheel, and it just is a tool, where if you spend 5 minutes on each of those categories, great. But a lot of times, ladies, I just pray about the thing that is top of mind for me. And then I just let the Holy Spirit bring things to my mind that I need to pray for. And so I would just encourage you to just approach prayer as deliberately as you are approaching your appointment. Now here's another thing I would challenge you to do. Take pen and paper with you when you go into your prayer time. Why? Because as soon as you go to the Lord in prayer, you are going to remember every errand you've forgotten for the last 72 hours. Oh my gosh, did I pay the school fees? I got to give a gallon of milk. I got to help my son find his other tennis shoes. Why is that? Because your weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Hell is not afraid of your words. Hell is afraid of your prayers. And so in that moment, hell is like, let me just remind her of everything possible that she's got to go do. Because we need to pump the brakes. This girl's about to rattle our gates a little bit. So just take the pen and paper with you, and it allows your physical mind to just discharge that thing. And you can press in to what God has burdened you and encouraged you to pray about. Now let's talk about reading. So I've made an appointment. I've been still and I've worshiped. My spirit is communing with God's spirit. I have prayed as I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to pray. And then we get to the reading. Now I want to encourage you, start in the Bible where you need help. If you are struggling with anger, read verses on anger. If you are struggling with another area, your mouth, read verses. If you're looking for wisdom, start in Proverbs, you know? Just start where you need help. And let me just also encourage you, get a version of the Bible that you can read, that is easy for you to read. I don't know about you guys, I love Shakespeare. About twice a year, you know what I mean? I don't want to read Shakespeare every day. And I love the King James Bible. I've told you guys, right? I grew up charismatic. I went to a Baptist college, married a Methodist. KJV, NIV, whatever it's got to be, right? I'll read them all. I'll quote them all with the devil. Doesn't matter. But you need to find a version of the Bible that you can read. And so there's versions like the NIV and the Message. Those are called thought-for-thought translations. Then there are word-for-word translations, which are like the New King James Version, the Amplified Bible, the New Living Translation. Pick one that is easy for you to read. Now here's my other pro tip. The Bible is not a textbook. It is not a history book. It is not a instruction manual. It has components that are all of those things. It is historically accurate. It is a manual for life and will teach you how to live well. But above all, it is a spiritual book, and it has to be discerned spiritually. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only. You're going to approach that text differently than you are a textbook on the War of 1812. And sometimes we let our minds start trying to treat the Bible like it's a textbook, and we aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to us in what we're reading. And so I would just encourage you, approach it spiritually and read it slow. Read it slow. You don't have to cover all 66 books in 30 days. Leviticus is going to take you 4 or 5 months by itself, y'all. Because you're going to fall asleep every other word. Shoot you straight, right? But just take your time and let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you. So that's how we're going to pray and read. Now here's the last step. Listen and write. Now I want to just challenge you. I've presented to you a sequential approach to how you can hear God. We're going to set an appointment. We're going to be still and we're going to worship. We're going to pray and we're going to read the Word of God. And now we're going to listen and write. Sometimes if you invert this process, it's harder for you to hear God's voice because you haven't necessarily prepared your ears to hear him by doing those first 3 steps. We know our God shows up to a prepared place. I showed you that in the Old Testament. I showed you that with Jesus. You came tonight to a prepared place. Women prepared a place for you to feel welcome. Natalie prepared set lists so that you could enter into worship. Someone prepared waffles. God bless Karen. Bless her. You came into a prepared place and God met you here. Do the same Monday through Saturday. So the biggest enemy of your faith is forgetfulness. True story. That's why the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sometimes the biggest boost your faith needs is for you to remember what God has done for you. And I'll tell you, Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which benefits the listener. That applies to conversations you have with yourself and to yourself. Because sometimes your mouth is not benefiting you, the listener. And so you need to be in a place where you listen and you write and you recount the things God has done with you. And if you will put them in a place where you can reread them, it will be easier for you to remember them. Now, Habakkuk is a fun little book. I just like the name Habakkuk, you know? Anybody looking for a baby name, consider Habakkuk. He would be the only one in his kindergarten class, I guarantee you. But the prophet Habakkuk has this dialogue with God. And he goes to God and metaphorically puts his finger in his chest and says, I don't get it. The bad guys are winning. The good guys are losing. You are for the good guys, your people. Why are we not winning? And Habakkuk records this dialogue between himself and the Lord. Well, in Habakkuk 2:1, he says, I will look to see what the Lord will say to me. This means he wrote it down. Because he didn't say, I'll wait and listen to hear what the Lord will say to me. I will look to see what the Lord will say to me. Many times, if you will adopt the discipline of writing down what it is you think the Lord is saying to you, it will help refine your ear. The hand and the ear are connected. How many of you know this? I have to take old school notes, right? The typing just doesn't cut it for me. I gotta go old school. I graduated from college. I took one post-college class. And I couldn't even afford the class. My grandparents paid for it. It was $600. It was on broadcast media. And the one thing I got out of this class is what I call my $600 notebook. Because the challenge from the instructor was, keep all of your thoughts in one place. Don't have 1,000 post-it notes. Don't put some stuff on your phone, some stuff in this journal, some stuff in your day planner. Have one depository for your thoughts. It will keep you focused. It will give you a single place to see if you're making progress. He was not teaching a spiritual class. This was just about being a productive person in broadcast media. And I have adopted that principle, and I teach it everywhere I go to work. Get yourself a $600 notebook, which coincidentally you can pick up at Walmart for 99 cents. It's called a composition book, right? But keep your thoughts in one place, and I would challenge you, get yourself a notebook and follow this sequence and look to see what the Lord would say to you. If you will do this for 30 days, I promise you'll see something in your writing. You will go from writing in the third person to writing in the first person. When you write in the third person, you say, Lord, your word says, Lord, I am standing on your word in this. That is powerful and that is good. But as your ear develops, as you put these things into practice, you should see that your writing goes, Lord, I believe you are telling me, blah, 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 blah. And so you went from third person to first person because you've trained your ear to hear the voice of Jesus. Now, those are the four steps. Do you have to follow this formula? Absolutely not. Would I encourage you to follow a formula? Absolutely. And I would just challenge you that I've offered you some very good, practical, and biblically based approaches that you can take to hearing God's voice. Now, last thought for you, and some takeaways. The takeaways are this: between now and when we get together again, ask God to show you a place and time for you to meet with Him. Now, guys, I have a closet. Many of you have probably heard people talk about their prayer closet. I don't always pray in there. I pray in other parts of my house. Sometimes my kids are out of the house. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray from my living room to my kitchen, from the floors to the walls, whatever it takes, right? Sometimes the Lord draws me to a place in my yard. Sometimes the Lord draws me to a park. Don't put yourself in a box. I'm sincere when I say ask the Holy Spirit to show you a place and a time. Now, yes, in Scripture, over and over again, Jesus got up before it was dark. But I want to also encourage you, you may be in a season where after the kids are in school, that's a quiet time and a place for you to meet with the Lord. You may be in a season where before you go to bed, is a time and a place for you to meet with the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit walk you through that. Commit to your appointments with Him. Make a commitment. We talked last week about honoring your yes. Just commit to Him and see what He does. Number three, value that time by being still, worshiping, praying, and reading the Word. You will prioritize the things that are priorities. And so if God's voice, hearing God's voice, is a priority for you, it will be reflected in your schedule. Last thing, listen and write what you believe God is saying to you. How many of you have little children that you walk through kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and that teacher is teaching them how to write stories? Man, those are some tricks, right? Those plot lines are sometimes hard to follow, and there's always a good guy and a bad guy. I used to love reading my kids' stories when they were little. Just practice. Don't be afraid to put something on paper because you think it's wrong. The Lord is training your ear. He is teaching you to hear His voice. It's okay. Just put the practice in there. And you'll start to see it develop, just like any muscle that you choose to use. All right, my last two thoughts before we do our discussion questions. I was praying about what study to do. I was praying about just each of you and asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom. And there are many things in my life that I need God's guidance on every day. And I felt particularly just like a little bit overwhelmed by everything that needed to happen. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and I think this might be in frequency. If you've read the book, you'll know. But the Lord just kind of felt a peace. He said, Sarah, if you will see to the depth, I will see to the width. Meaning, if you will anchor yourself in me, you'll prioritize my word and hearing my voice. If you will go deeper with me, then I will look to see how far you can go and reach. Now, there are probably many areas in your life that if you could reach it on your own, you'd already pull it to yourself. And there are some things you are just going to have to ask God to reach and strengthen and lengthen your arm to reach. And you guys know it from the Old Testament. God asked Moses, is the arm of the Lord too short? It is not. But if you will see to the depth, he will see to the width. The other thing I would just encourage you in is that God can do more with your obedience than he can your effort. Busyness kills more Christians than bullets. And hell will try to keep you busy working for the Lord so that you cannot hear from the Lord. And sometimes, guys, I'm just tender right now because I know I'm walking in it myself. I can't make my work for the Lord become an idol that I worship instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear from the Lord. I'm just shooting straight, like straight up transparent Sarah. So I would just challenge you with the same. God can do more with your obedience than he can your effort. That's why it says he uses the weak to confound the strong. He uses the foolish to confound the wise. Girl, he can work with what you got. He can work with what you got. And he wants to talk to you and share with you and impart things to you because he has great plans for you. He has great plans for you, but you're going to have to get on his program instead of trying to get him on your program. And that happens in that daily appointment if you and I will do those four things. So let me pray for you. You're going to have some incredible discussion questions, and we'll go from there. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that you are present in this place. God, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that you are not far off from us, but God, you are here among us. Lord, I thank you for every woman here, that she is prioritizing your voice. God, that she is honoring you, that she is looking to go deeper so that you can take her further than she could ask, seek, think, or imagine. Father, I thank you that you are making everything that concerns her perfect because her heart is stayed on you. Father, I thank you that in a noisy, noisy world, God, these women of God will hear your voice, they will hearken to it, and they will follow it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're going to show up in supernatural ways as they seek your face. God, your word says, we will find you when we seek you. So God, I am expectant about the things that they will hear from the voice of the Lord, the things that they will learn from your word. God, the way they will pray and see things move in their families like never before. God, keep us safe. Keep us close to you. And God, honor your word. Your word says you fill the hungry with good things. God, every woman here is looking forward to good things to satisfy her right now in Jesus' name. God, I bless you. I thank you. I give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, girls. Well, you've got some great discussion questions. Go at it, and I hope I get to see you next week. Next week, we're going to talk about how we confirm God's word. So this week, you're going to write some things down. You're going to think, I think I heard God's voice. Next week, you're going to take practical steps on how you confirm whether it was you talking to you or God talking to you. So I hope I see you there. All right. Bye.